That Podcast Thing presents Home Movie Club, originally recorded April 2017, episode number 2, One Man and His Dog.
Hello and welcome to Home Movie Club. In this episode we will be looking at the 1976 film Rocky, a film about people hitting each other. I am very delighted to say that this time I am joined by Joe Carter.
Hi!
Daisy Swaffer.
Hello!
And my lovely wife, Sammy Kelsch.
Hi!
Rocky is probably seen as one of the most successful boxing franchises in the world ever. Unfortunately, it's not aged well as a film, personally, I think, anyway.
I want that last 2 hours of my life back.
Fair enough. Sammy?
It is what it is.
And Daisy, what did you think?
I went in expecting to hate this movie and came out kind of liking it.
Ooh, a controversial response there. So, the plot of the film, actually, last time we did Mary Poppins and I said the plot wasn't very, very deep, I think it was probably a ton deeper than this one. It's a film that, I don't know whether it's because of its age or because of the style of the time, but the pacing of it seems very, very glacial and almost nothing actually happens. Rocky is a down-and-out boxer. He admits himself he's not smart, he can do nothing else. He's been trying for many years to be successful, but pretty much just gets nothing but local fights. He also works as a very low-level enforcer for a loan shark. The thrust of the film is this. Apollo Creed is the champion of the world. He is looking to fight on the United States bicentennial anniversary, which I'm guessing was 1976.
Twas, yeah.
I mean, probably Carl Weathers best known to me for his appearance in a later muscle film, which was Schwarzenegger's Predator. But in this film, he plays Apollo Creed, who actually I thought came across as being smart and savvy and was one of the few characters in this film that seemed to have his head screwed on straight, who wasn't sort of just a criminal. He was a showman. He knew that boxing was a sport that not quite as bad as wrestling, where it's all very much decided beforehand. The sport of boxing is still all about razzmatazz. It's about putting on a show. So he has this fight planned for the bicentennial celebrations in Philadelphia. However, the fight opponent apparently has to drop out due to a damaged or injured hand. This is 5 weeks before the fight, and he finds it impossible to find someone else to fight against. So he decides to put on a show and to fight a local boy. He goes through a list of potentials and picks Rocky Balboa simply because he has the nickname The Italian Stallion.
Yeah.
I mean, that, and that seems to be, he's not even seen him fight, as far as I can tell. He literally picks him on his name.
When you're going for a local boy, you're not going to start trawling around the boxing rings. They haven't got time for that. So yeah, it's as good a reason as any. Italian Stallion's a pretty sellable name in the kind of razzmatazz of it.
Yeah, it's a good spectacle nickname.
Yeah. So Rocky gets invited to meet the promoter, assuming that actually Apollo Creed is looking for a sparring partner. However, he gets told that he is wanted to fight against Apollo Creed. Now, again, this is actually one of the few scenes where Sylvester Stallone, I think, actually showed quite a lot of acting talent. And I almost hate myself for saying that. But he did seem to show a lot of talent in this scene. He obviously initially turns down the fight because he's under the impression, and possibly rightly so, that at that point he wouldn't stand a chance against the world champion. But he's talked into doing it. He decides he is going to fight the champion. And this means one of only two things. Either a training montage or a very long training montage. And this one is a training montage.
No, you say that, but I was surprised by the lack of training montages in this movie.
It's, yes, I think training montages are a thing that almost were born out of this movie. There was one, certainly, the second training montage, which was more of the montage when we actually had the recognisable Rocky theme, was definitely a training montage. This was more just him training.
It was a sequence rather than a montage.
True. You obviously had the very famous metaphorical steps up the Philadelphia Library, where he first runs up them and nearly dies at the top, which I could thoroughly relate to.
Oh god, I thought through that whole thing. I hate stairs as much as I can tell this guy hates those stairs.
Yeah.
I think I fell asleep during this bit.
Yeah, well, not an awful lot happened. I mean, this is the thing with the film, is not an awful lot happened. He accepts the fight contract. He starts the train. He meets up with his friend, the brother of the potential love interest, Paulie. That's the name of the friend, not the love interest. Although the love interest is called Adrian, so who knows. He meets up with Paulie and they do some boxing in a meat packing yard. And he punches some meat, which, again, probably not the most sensible thing to do if you're about to go into a fight. He runs around lots. He tries to get fit. I did think at this point, as soon as he'd agreed to fight, that they did quite well showing that suddenly everybody wanted to be his friend.
Yep.
No one before the fact he was chosen was going to give him the time of day. His trainer is played by Burgess Meredith, who is probably best known for playing the Penguin in the best version of Batman ever, the 1960s camp version.
I love that one.
Thank you.
However, he seemed to be playing the same character in this. I don't know if that's just the way that Burgess Meredith plays characters, or was just a coincidence that these were the two characters, but he did seem to be just playing the same character, just in a boxing ring and not wearing a top hat. So Rocky trains, he has a crush on Paulie's sister, who is called Adrian, who works in a pet shop. So we have this scene where he's trying to basically woo.
Yeah, this happens before he gets the contract. There's all this creepy stuff. And then suddenly he gets the contract and then, you know, everything seems to be not creepy, but it's just, yeah.
Yeah, no, he has several attempts to even engage in conversation with Adrian in the pet shop, and she blatantly doesn't want anything to do with it. She is shy as only a person called Adrian could be when you're a woman. If you're going to call your child Adrian, you're going to expect quite a lot of insecurities. Now, I think her name actually is Adriana. But, so she is not particularly forthcoming. Then suddenly he gets his contract and, you know, she's pretty much forced to go on a date with him by her brother, who is an alcoholic and an absolute...
Everything about that made me so uncomfortable.
You're telling me? It was like he literally threw her out the house and sold her to Rocky. It was
after
just
throwing
so disturbing.
The turkey that she'd been cooking for Thanksgiving out of the back door first. Like, now you have no reason to stay in because I've thrown that turkey you've slaved over away.
Like, honestly, it almost feels like, you know, if you're in that situation, are you just kind of like, okay, I guess I'm going to go out with this guy because he's not as terrifying as my abusive brother?
Yeah.
In terms of the Rocky and Adrian romance, it seemed to be Rocky wanted to be with her and therefore they got together. There was no real choice on Adrian's side.
I mean, I wasn't sure in the beginning whether or not she was just supposed to seem shy and it came across as disinterested. But to me, as someone who's worked in public-facing roles where sometimes a guy doesn't get that you're not interested in him as a human being, you know, it is hard to come out and say, hey, buddy, I'm happy to sell you turtle food, but I don't want to go out on a date. And that's the feeling that I got from her in those pet shop scenes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think partially because she was a sister of a friend of Rocky's, she gave him a bit more time than he possibly would if he was just a complete stranger that came in. But she was played chronically shy. She obviously didn't want anything to do with him. She was pretty much forced to go on her first date with him. They went out. They had a terrible, terrible night. If that was my first date with someone, I guarantee you it would not have gone anywhere.
It was like 10 minutes of awkward skating where he tried to tell her a story and then basically forced her to come back to his place and assaulted her.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how I read that. This film made me really uncomfortable apart from being really mad.
That scene where they're at his front door and he's asking her to come in and she keeps saying, no, I can't, I gotta go. And he's not taking no...
That's not as bad as when she's actually in the flat and he physically stops her from leaving, though.
Yep.
I think for me, at that point on a date, if someone will not except that you don't want to come in, that's when you run. That's not when you concede and go in.
Yeah, but the thing is that he's a boxer. He's a leg breaker for a loan shark. He's, you know, strong and has a temper and, you know, she's you know, played as shy and fragile, basically. In that situation, what are you supposed to do? If you run away, he's going to come after you, he's going to hurt you.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, it was just an intensely uncomfortable scene all the way through. I mean, the entire relationship...
The whole movie was intensely uncomfortable when they were on screen.
It did seem to be that the movie broke down into two points. It was either him fighting slash training or him being very disrespectful of Adrian. There was no great romance. There was no sort of blossoming of relationship. It kind of went, to me, it kind of went from she's not interested to she's with him. Apparently her eyesight's fixed. I don't get that one either, because her glasses disappeared as soon as they started going out.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as he took the glasses off and said, "Oh, my God, I knew you'd be pretty underneath those big glasses, then I will never let you wear them again."
I don't know.
Creepy as hell.
I mean, he probably can't see very much because he gets hit in the face a lot, so then she should be blind as well. Obviously, that's the way forward.
It's only fair.
Yeah. Let's wait for that dog to start barking.
I was going to say, I can hear barking.
Is that Rocky's dog?
That is Butkus.
Oh, maybe it's Butkus. Yeah. Oh, good boy.
Rocky has a dog?
Yes, there was a dog, briefly.
Did you not watch the movie?
The dog didn't have an awful lot to do with it. He didn't tell them that he had to go and rescue things or anything like that. It's not Mary Poppins.
I know he had turtles, but I didn't know he had a... When
the
was
one that Adrian brought him to train with?
Because he visited the...
For the running. That was like...
You remember he went to the pet store and he was like, "Hey, puppy." And then she like brought him a puppy and he went running with the puppy.
And then we never saw the puppy again.
Oh, exactly. And it was like 10 seconds.
And then presumably the puppy was neglected, you know, until the end of time or whatever.
Yeah.
Fun story, though, that Sly Stallone was so broke that he actually either was selling or sold, reports differ, that dog just before making the film, before he got, like, the money. And if he sold it, he bought it back for, like, $3,000 rather than the $50 he sold it for. And that was his actual real-life dog.
Yes, I noticed in the credits it was classed as Butkus Stallone. Yep.
So I think the dog was in there just because Sylvester wanted to have his dog in the movie. Because why wouldn't you, if you have a dog that you love that much?
I'm going through the plot. I don't even know where we are in this plot at this point. I mean...
Just skip to the stupid fight.
Yeah, the boxing takes up the last 15 minutes.
I also said Apollo Creed's entrance was akin to WWE, and I thought it was awesome.
Oh, it absolutely was. It was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous, but I think it was well done because you also saw Stallone's face as someone standing there going, "What the heck is going on here?"
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is not the boxing world he knows. The boxing world he knows is spit buckets and backstreet gyms.
Some guy sprints out in a robe and you punch them for a few rounds until somebody, you know, is too concussed to keep going.
It's a boxing match. Thankfully, they don't make us watch all 16 rounds or 15 rounds, whatever it is. It did strike me as... It's a film that if you like boxing, you'd probably enjoy. But equally, it was also blatantly fake boxing because quite a lot of those hits just were not connecting.
Yeah,
it's very much stage boxing. Yeah. I mean, if you've watched any real boxing matches, and I've had the misfortune of having seen a few, it looks more like angry cuddles to an outsider.
Yeah. Yes.
Which maybe doesn't read as well on film as sort of getting a lot of really good-looking sort of punches in, I guess.
The boxing choreography was also done by Stallone, so he obviously felt he knew what he was doing with it. But some of those punches basically had about as much impact as a Mass Effect punch. So.
But bear in mind that Stallone did the boxing choreography because the original choreographers had done it so bad that it looked awful and they walked out because it just wasn't working.
At least it's an improvement, I guess.
I mean, the initial fight where he was fighting the... I can't remember what the guy's name was, but the original fight at the start of the movie, that was terrible. I mean, it was blatantly obvious that most of those punches were not connecting. And just the camera angles they were using was amateurish. It showed that they were not hitting each other. But yeah, the fight happens. It goes all 15 rounds.
Because no one told Rocky that it was meant to be a show, not an actual, you know, beat the out of him.
Well, yeah, that's kind of implied. It's like, well, he doesn't know it's a show. But then he wasn't told it was a show. He was told it was a boxing match. So, you know, that Carl Weathers' character obviously has a huge ego and assumes that it's going to be a walk in the park. He gets knocked down in the first round. Rocky gets his nose broken for the first time. He made a big thing earlier on trying to show off to Adrian that his nose had never been broken. That's one thing about the romance, and I probably shouldn't use that word because it really wasn't.
It's not.
One thing about their entire relationship was that he spent his entire time talking about him and his boxing.
I don't think we know one thing about her except that she works in a pet shop and she's got a brother.
Yeah, and that she does a lots of work and takes no credit for it.
And she's an abuse victim who needs to get out. I've known guys like this who just talk and talk and talk and talk and think that talking at length without stopping is a conversation.
The fight ends and no one has died. Sorry, no one's been knocked out. That's boxing, isn't it? That's what's supposed to happen.
Well, people do die, don't they, with boxing?
They try not to, but...
Rocky 2.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. I haven't seen any of them. I heard there are four.
Spoilers.
At least.
There's about six. God, there's like nine.
Okay, can I just sound the spoiler horn a little bit? Because obviously some people haven't seen Rocky 2. And after watching Rocky 1, they probably won't. At the end of Rocky 2, basically it's the same as Rocky 1. They have another big fight, but this time Rocky wins and knocks him out, and actually Apollo Creed dies from his injuries.
Oh, no!
So, I don't remember much about the film, because I was under the impression I had seen Rocky, and yet I watched it last night and didn't remember any of it. I know I've seen Rocky 4... probably even at the cinema, but that was the one that came out while I was sort of that sort of age. It's around the same time as Top Gun and that sort of thing. It had a reasonable soundtrack. It had sort of James Brown. And it had Dolph Lundgren as a Russian. It was basically just the Cold War in a boxing format. It was a terrible film. It was 90% training montage.
I think they figured out after this one that the training montage is really what everyone's there for.
Yeah. The only point in the film where I actually almost perked up and enjoyed it was the second training montage, where you got the Rocky theme and it suddenly became uplifting and it was kind of almost enjoyable, although I never realised the Rocky theme actually had lyrics to it, because apparently it does, because we're watching it with the subtitlings on. And that was the other thing, the tonally it shifted very quickly from that. That was very... very upbeat, and then they went to sort of, oh, actually, I don't think I'm going to win this fight. I'm going to be depressed again. And it suddenly went, oh, very flat and uninflated. And that almost affected the first half of the fight scenes as well, because it went from, yay, everything's great, to, oh, I'm going to lose and probably go horribly wrong.
I think that was possibly to set the audience's expectation to not think that Rocky was going to win it, but to be happy if he can just make it to the end of the 15 rounds.
Actually, that was something else I noticed about the film, was that the music on it was really quite minimalist and actually quite...
muted?
Muted, yes, that's the word, thank you. Because apart from the training montage where you got the very famous music, there really wasn't a lot of music in it that seemed to sort of really be to the fore. It was all in the background. It was either that or it was on sort of radios or being played on... record players, and that's...
Or singers on the street.
Mm. Oh, singers on the street, including the lovely Sly Stallone's brother, apparently.
Oh, isn't that nice? But...
That was the main singing.
But guy. I think it's not a major cinematic score type of film. It's 70s, you know, sort of gritty social realism. And I think if there was more of sort of a swelling cinematic score, that might have brought you out of that a bit.
I think it was more about them not having a budget for more than that.
Yeah.
Am I giving them too much credit, Daisy? I'm sorry.
They made this on a shoestring.
They made this on, apparently just cost slightly more than $1.1 million, and it made back overall, is it $225 million?
The producers had to mortgage their houses to get it over the line.
But it was a reasonable return on investment because they made so much money back off it.
Yeah.
I think my major problem with the film is that I actually don't like boxing. And I don't understand why people do like boxing. And if they do, fine, whatever. I like niche sports like motorcycle racing and Formula One, which lots of people don't like. I don't know. It just struck me as dull. I mean, I actually made notes through the film, and one of the notes I made was, God, boxing is dull.
I think that was just before I said that boxing was dull. Yeah.
And I'm sure that wasn't the intention.
I hate boxing, which is why I was expecting to hate this movie. And I really didn't hate this movie.
Good. Yeah, and then so the fight's over, and we get the infamous scene where he's standing there shouting Adrian, and she runs up to him, and they declare love to each other. And in my notes, I wrote barf, followed by, oh, thank fudge, that's over. So, yeah.
That's like after they've moved in together, and is that the first time they've told each other that they love each other? After they've moved in together?
I don't know, because it seems like a big moment.
That's how it read, yeah.
I mean, I think part of it is that the idea is that although they've moved in together, he's, you know, or I don't know if he's sleeping on the couch or what. I mean, she's moved in with him because she's living with an abusive brother, and just to get out of that relationship, which is understandable because... Mm. You know, you wouldn't want to be in a house like that with someone who's being abusive towards you. But yeah, no, it would seem strange that they've moved in together and yet this is the first time that they've actually said they love each other to each other.
So I wonder if maybe it was more of a, oh, I made it through the fight and I'm alive kind of thing of, yeah.
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 I don't know. I mean, this film made over $100 million more than the second grossing, highest grossing film of the year, which actually was a NASA-produced film, so perhaps there wasn't that many popular films this year, although it's actually the same year that Omen came out.
And All the President's Men, which I loved, so.
I don't know. Obviously, it was popular for its age, but for me, I was just thankful when it was over. I really didn't enjoy this movie. I can see why people would do, but to me, be it its pacing, its subject matter, its grittiness, I don't know, I just did not like it.
I thought it was a reasonably good example of that sort of genre of, you know, sort of 70s working class American grit. But it was by no means my favorite example of that genre. I hate boxing, which didn't help. And I thought that Stallone did do a good job at playing that character, but that character is a kind of person that I really don't get on with.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem, is that his character, although, and as I said, undoubtedly well acted, he wasn't a likable character in any shape or form. I didn't feel any kind of emotional attachment to him. He was a bit of a dick. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, were we supposed to like him? I suppose we must have been supposed to like him.
Yeah, we were
supposed to. He's supposed to be a sympathetic character.
From, like, the very start, it was like, okay, so he's meant to break the guy's thumb, but he doesn't. Oh, look, he's an animal lover. Oh, look, he tells jokes to the girl that
he's an underdog.
That kind of thing was all that we're meant to like him and find him a nice guy.
Yeah, he's an underdog, but he also struck me as a bit of a nice guy in times.
Okay, that completely passed me by, because that really, I just did not like him at all.
Not me either.
No, I mean capital N nice guy. Like,
I mean, to be honest, the only thing about this film I really enjoyed was A, the training montage due to the sort of nostalgic version of the music, and probably B, just the shots, the very brief shots of the Philly skyline as he climbed up the stairs, because they were very pretty. But other than that,
fun fact, this was one of the first movies to use Steadicam, and the guy who was operating the Steadicam was the guy who created it. And that running up the shots of the Philadelphia Art Museum, that was one of the test shots that the guy did with his girlfriend in order to go to Hollywood and try to sell this thing that he'd made. And when they saw that, they went, that looks really cool, and we're doing this movie in Philadelphia. Let's use that running up the Philadelphia Art Museum steps thing. Garrett Brown was his name.
You don't think of that sort of thing anymore, because it's just one of the tricks in the filmmaker's book. But it's one of those, it's got to have been invented sometime. So... Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, so some of the cinematography was good, and some of the sort of acting was good, but I know I'm being quite down on this film, but I just really did not enjoy it.
I think with anything that's got as I would say, quite depressing a tone as this movie, I've kind of got to be in the right mood for it, and I'm not really in the mood for depressing stuff right now, which probably doesn't help. I can tell that parts of it were very, very good, but that's not the same as enjoying it.
No, it's obviously, I mean, it is very popular. It's a film that everybody knows. Everybody knows the cliches of it. It's got cliches in it. It's got the running upstairs. It's got the Adrian bit. But
yeah, to me, it felt very cheesy. And I think it didn't feel cheesy when it came out, because it was actually at the beginning of that.
Mm-hmm.
And now those cliches have been done to death, whereas this was kind of the birth of those cliches.
Yeah, the sort of almost the birth of the training montage, birth of this, birth of that. But it was, yeah.
The underdog story was very tired to me, and I don't think it was when this came out.
You see, I was mostly thinking there are like, what, three women in the entire movie?
Are there that many? Oh, yeah. No, sorry. There was a forgot about that one. Go on.
Yeah, so there's two women in the pet shop, yes? If I'm remembering rightly.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the boss. Uh-huh. So her boss, basically, Adrian's boss, who I have no idea what her name is, but she seems to be there as a buffer, trying to protect Adrian from Rocky because she can tell that Adrian's not interested and he won't leave her alone. And then there's that random girl who was hanging out with a bunch of boys in the corner that Rocky suddenly grabs by the arm and drags off and tells her she's a slut.
Marie.
And she should stop hanging out with them because she's going to get a reputation. It's like, what the hell?
Are
they related? Uh-oh. Because otherwise, what the hell?
That bit was so... I think every time Rocky interacts with a woman, I just feel uncomfortable. I'm not saying that he's going to actually do anything mega inappropriate, like, physically, but I just bristle.
I think the Marie thing there was meant to be an example of Rocky being a nice guy, that he's trying to take her away from the bad gang and lectures her all the way home and make sure that she gets home okay because he is a nice guy.
Ew. Yeah, I mean, she was supposed to be 12.
He's a nice guy who doesn't know how to respect women's choices.
Well, yeah, that's how it reads now, and in the 70s it didn't.
I think that's
like
part
that.
Of the thing for me is I'm watching this for the first time in 2017, and you know, we may have slightly different standards when it comes to not being dicks to women.
Really? Because I think this film is one of the reasons that, you know, we have so much trouble these days, you know, because it normalizes, oh, if you like someone, if you just badger them enough, then they'll eventually just break down and agree to
date you. That is such a massive trope that has been part of, you know, sort of, I guess, romantic discourse in media for so long, and it needs to go away. But absolutely.
It's not romantic at
all. Exactly. It's not. And it shouldn't be viewed as such. And it absolutely is for some creepy, creepy reason.
There was one point in the whole Rocky Adrian relationship. I hesitate to use the word. There was one bit that I actually liked.
Go on.
Again, I hesitate to say that. It wasn't when either of them were interacting. It was when Rocky was in the the meat place with Paulie, and Paulie, being the absolute tool that he is, was like, what do you even see in her? Because he can't see what value she has to anyone. And then Rocky does respond in actually, I think, quite a sweet way, where he says... she fills gaps. He has gaps, and she has gaps, and when they're together, they fill gaps. And I actually quite liked that.
Yes, I will agree with you completely there. That was incredibly sweet. It has one redeeming moment in the whole film.
Yes, that's the little bit of their relationship that I actually liked, was when he said that to her brother.
Yeah.
No, that was really sweet. I remember hearing that, but... Yeah, most of the film was entirely unmemorable, aside from the cracking the four eggs and eating them all. That just really freaked me out, and then it got all down his face and his sweater, and I was just going, oh my god, this is so gross.
I think it was five eggs. I was there actually counting them as he was eating them, putting them in. It was like, oh, how could you?
Well, I only saw four because I didn't realise what he was doing. And
serious question, you guys. Serious question. Would it have killed him to boil them? Just a bit of salt, you know? Sprinkle of dill.
His hob probably doesn't work in the in that
if he even has a hob.
Yeah, that whole rant that he had when Mickey had left and he was just stood next to the toilet shouting and screaming was improvised at the time, and it heavily focused on the stinkiness because apparently that bathroom that he was stood next to really did actually stink.
Oh my god, I kind of really appreciate the fact that it genuinely stank. I mean, that's dedication. That's method acting.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, you can have a film that's thin on plot, that's really, really compelling. I loved My Dinner with Andre, but I think if you're gonna have a fairly, you know, thin plot, you've got to make up for it with other aspects, you know, sort of visually or character wise. And this didn't 100% for me. I'd give it maybe a solid 70 with a couple of marks off for the creepy.
Given that this was the first sports movie to win the Best Picture Oscar, I think that sports movies weren't something that were generally a thing, and that that will have been quite new and exciting in and of itself in the mid-70s.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I can see how it's influential, and I can see how it was sort of a forerunner to things that are more common today, but just because something's the first doesn't necessarily mean it's not surpassed later.
So I couldn't help but watch Rocky kind of through the eyes of how this would have been in 1976 rather than how it is 40 years on from that. And I think that's possibly why I enjoyed it more than you guys.
I was going to say, I think it is very much a movie that's reflective of the times in which it was made. I mean, it is very...
Yeah.
It looks like, it feels and looks like it's attempting to be a reflection of the kind of world and the kind of life that a person such as this would be experiencing at the time without, you know, sort of overblowing it in any direction. I was actually surprised that the movie, because of the sort of cliche moments that we know about it, having not even seen it, just as a part of culture at large, I thought it was going to be more about boxing than it actually ended up being. There was less sort of in the ring action than I had sort of not psyched myself up for, but I had braced myself. That's it. I had braced myself for more sort of boring boxing action sequences than we ended up actually being subjected to. And I'm grateful to it for that, certainly.
I thought training was actually going to involve sparring as well, so I was expecting more boxing there as well.
Right, so let's have some final thoughts. I think we've all made it fairly clear what our thoughts are, but as a final thoughts, who wants to go first? Daisy?
This movie had a lot of problems, but I think it was a quite new and exciting movie in 76, and I think I can still get some of that now in 17, even though it's got a lot of issues. So I was thinking about the film kind of later on, that it was a film from the 70s, and it's got a black guy as an antagonist to our white protagonist, but he doesn't get portrayed as a bad person at any point. And obviously, black people aren't bad people, but it's one of those things where the films, like older films particularly, have tended to go, oh, the black guy is the baddie and the white guy is the goodie. And he is an antagonist in this, but he's smart and he's got business acumen and he's a very good sports person. And he's the one that plucks Rocky out of obscurity. And he doesn't, like, do anything bad at any point. And I think that's quite noteworthy in a film from the 70s.
I mean, he's definitely got an ego, and that's shown in the actual fight. But no, I agree. He isn't, he isn't what you would prescribe as the bad guy of the movie. In fact, there isn't really a bad guy in the movie.
Yeah, he's not some kind of mustache-twirling, bah-ha-ha, I'm going to punch this, you know, sort of working-class gentleman.
Or he doesn't do anything to, like, cheat in the match in order to make sure he wins or anything like that.
Fair enough. Joe?
I don't know what more I can say about this movie. it just made me feel uncomfortable pretty much the entire way through. I'm fairly certain I fell asleep at some point. And, I can see why people, as Daisy said, why people... like it, but I just couldn't find anything aside from that one tiny bit to redeem it.
Sammy?
Okay, I think as a piece of 70s sort of realist genre film and as a piece of sort of angry young man genre storytelling, I think it's a good example of both. That's by no means the same as saying I liked it.
From my perspective, I will be 100% honest, I just found it boring. I didn't hate it, I didn't loathe sections of it. There were some bits that made me uncomfortable, undoubtedly, but overall, I just found it boring. I just got bored by it. And that's not what you want from films.
It was too long.
It was 2 hours, it was too long, definitely. Right, so that, thankfully, is Rocky done and dusted. Next time we will be looking at...
We will be looking at The Lion King, another Disney offering.
1994's Lion King.
The height of grunge music and The Lion King.
Starring Elton John or something. So yes, that's next time. It'll be Lion King, slightly different again from Rocky, thankfully. Until then, I'd like to thank my co-hosts and dear friends, Joe.
Hi, Mom.
See, someone's listening. Sammy.
Sure.
Daisy.
Yeah.
And my name is David Callier, and thank you. We will be back at some point soon. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Home Movie Club, part of the That Podcast Thing network. Find us on Twitter at @podcast_thing and on Facebook by searching for That Podcast Thing. Please like and subscribe for news of our future episodes coming soon.